नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्। देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जय मोदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिके। थैंक यू वेरी मच। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 4 द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ ऋषभदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। I'll read the verse myself. Yasya Indras Pardamano Bhagavan Varshe Nava Varshatad Avadharya Bhagavan Rishabhadevo Yogeshwarah Prahasyatama Yogamayaya सवर्षम अजानाभम नाम अभ्या वर्षत। यस्य ऑफ हूम ही इंडीड इंद्र किंग इंद्र ऑफ हेवन स्पर्धमान बीइंग एनवियस भगवान वेरी ऑप्युलेंट वर्षे ऑन भारत वर्ष न ववर्ष डिड नॉट पोर वाटर तत् दैट अवधार्य नोइंग भगवान The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabhadeva, Rishabhadev, Yoga Ishwaraha, the Master of all mystic power, Prahasya, smiling, Atma Yoga Mayaya, by his own spiritual potency, Swavarsham, on his place, Ajanabha, Nama, named, Abhyavarshat, he poured water. Translation, Indra, the king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabhadev. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharatavarsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadev, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yoga Maya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanabha. Please repeat. Indra, the king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabhdev. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharatavarsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord, Rishabhdev, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yoga Maya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanabha, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We find the word Bhagavan used twice in this verse. Both King Indra and Rishabhdev, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, are described as Bhagavan. Sometimes Narada and Lord Brahma are also addressed as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means that one is a very opulent and powerful person, like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada or Indra. They are all addressed as Bhagavan due to their extraordinary opulence. King Rishabhdev is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he was the original Bhagavan. Consequently, he is described herein as Yogeshwara, which indicates that he has the most powerful spiritual potency. He is not dependent on King Indra for water. He can supply water himself, and he did so in this case. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Yajñat Bhavati Parjanya. Due to the performance of yajna, clouds of water are manifest in the sky. Clouds and rainfall are under the management of Indra, the heavenly king. But when Indra is neglectful, the Supreme Lord himself, who is also known as Yajna or Yajñapati, takes the task upon himself. Consequently, there was sufficient rainfall in the place known as Ajanabha. When Yajñapati wants to, he can do anything without the help of any subordinate. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is known as Almighty. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, anavrishti, for the general populace. Due to ignorance and scarcity of yajnic ingredients, the general populace, due to ignorance and the scarcity of yajnic ingredients, will neglect to perform yajnas. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore advises, Yajnai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. After all, yajna is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age of Kali, there is great scarcity and ignorance. Nonetheless, everyone can perform Sankirtan Yajna. Every family in every city, every family in every society can conduct Sankirtan Yajna at least every evening. In this way, there will be no disturbance or scarcity of rain. It is essential for the people in this age to perform the Sankirtan Yajna in order to be materially happy and to advance spiritually. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshara unamilitangena tasamai Shri Gurave Nama. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yasya Indra Spardamano Bhagavan Varshena Vavarshatat Avadharya Bhagavan Rishabhadevo Yogeshara Pras Yatama Yogamayaya Sabarsham Janabham Nama Bhavarshat. Indra, the king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabhadev. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharatvarsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadev, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yoga Maya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanabha. The question that comes up in the day and age that we live in is there are far too many anomalies, far too many discrepancies beyond our own control. What difference will it make if I perform yajna? The world situation is such that it's pervaded with all kinds of sinful activities. What will a little yajna do to make a difference to such a situation? Indra is actually very powerful. He has control over very powerful energies in this material world. Therefore, he's the king of heaven. He wields so much power. And he definitely can make a difference to a place, to a planet, by withholding rain. Naturally, everything becomes affected. Chai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Chai. You know, sometimes when people are angry, they threaten. Do you know what I can do to you? You know, do you know? Do you know who I am? Because of the power I have. So this is one of the displays that you can threaten, you can ruin somebody's life. That's your power. Indra had such power. He could definitely threaten someone, some place. And why did he? Why does somebody threaten? Because somebody is envious of the other person. This is going on since time immemorial. It's not today. It's not only today. You cannot expect that nobody will be envious. This place is the place of the envious. All this kind of thing goes on all the time. In the case of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He has a wonderful way of dealing with envy. First of all, He is not going to be threatened by anybody. And one thing you notice about Krishna in all His pastimes is that He has a very peculiar way of counteracting other entities' envy. Very beautiful way, very attractive fashion. I mean, Krishna, if He wants, He could just kill the oppressor, the person who is being envious. Finished. Generally, Krishna doesn't do that. It's interesting, even when Arjuna was fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, it's very interesting. They're out to kill each other. But actually it's described, he would not kill the other person immediately. He would first kill his horses, kill the chariot driver. He will knock down his flag on the chariot. Then he will kill him. It's a very interesting way. Again and again, this is how all the killing in the Mahabharata war is described. Again and again. The person who is confident of his superiority, he doesn't immediately kill the other person, the inferior person. He shows off. He shows that he can quite play with the person. Lord Narsingadev did the same thing with Hiranyakashipu. Immediately could have finished him. But he let him go. As soon as he let him go, the demigods became worried. Oh, this is trouble. Because if Hiranyakashipu comes out of this, they're finished. He cannot, you know. They're thinking you shouldn't play with Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Narsingadev, he played with him. And then he bifurcated him. So Lord Rishabdev, he could easily have deposed Indra for his foolishness, for his insult, for his daring to oppose the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord decided to display that actually, he, in one sense, Indra facilitated a display of Krishna's or Lord Rishabdev's pastime to show us that the Lord is independent, Swarat. He does not need the help of any other person. By himself, he can look after his own place, his own abode. He does not require the help of Indra. In one sense, Indra is glorifying inadvertently the Lord, because it shows the world that Lord Rishabhdev does not need the help of another person for anything. He is capable of looking after. So originally we began this class by saying, what difference will it make if we do some yajna in a world full of sinful activities? It is in this respect, because Krishna becomes pleased. It's not dependent upon who's got the greater vote. Right now the sinful people have the greatest vote. Their numbers are greater. But that is not how Krishna operates. Krishna, if he is pleased by the yajna, by the sacrifice of one pure devotee, he can bestow upon all of humanity all of the needs, both material and spiritual. Matta paratram nanyat. Excuse me. Aham sarvasya prabhava, matta sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything, both material and spiritual. So Krishna is not dependent upon votes, on the numbers of people who follow him, who are his devotees. It's simply dependent on his sweet will. His tendency is, well, as we learn, Prabhupada one time described, he wrote the Krishna book so people may know who God is. What is he like? What does he do? So from Krishna book we learn Krishna likes to glorify his devotee. That's what we learn. He could easily have dealt with this Kurukshetra war. And he showed that to Arjuna by his universal form. He could do so and he did so. But he likes to glorify his devotee. He wants his devotee to have the credit, and he wants the world to glorify his devotee. So today the example of such a devotee who is glorified by Krishna is very evidently His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A person who was unknown to the whole world, Krishna decided, I want the whole world to know about him. This one, my one devotee. There was Mangala Niloy, he was Brahmachari at the time, became Maharaj, Gaudiya Math, sometime during the 1960s. So he was at one time attempting to help Srila Prabhupada, but he explained once that he said who knew at the time, who knew who was Abhay Babu? Who knew? We did not know. He looked like a nice grihastha disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But who knew? He said, but of course later on, when he became the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that he was able to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithivite Ache Yata Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatra Prachar Haive Muranam, that he actually fulfilled that prophecy, which up till then everyone thought was kind of poetical or limited to the Bharat Varsha of present day India. He said, who knew? So of course Krishna knew, and Krishna wanted the world to know. The Lord's will is it cannot be challenged, it cannot be impeded. Lord Chaitanya has come and he has established the desire, the mission to distribute pure love of Godhead all over the world. Not just some villages in India, all over the world. So that desire cannot be checked. It cannot be thwarted. It cannot be stopped. With our cooperation or without our cooperation, it will happen. Why? Because Krishna's will is supreme. Indra may or may not give rain, but that doesn't stop the Lord's intention if there should be rain. All our needs, material and spiritual, are being provided by Krishna, even if the agent is someone else. So the devotee, he doesn't concern himself with the agent. He concerns himself with Krishna. So that is why when you are performing yajna, Harinam Sankirtan on the streets of a far distant little remote place on earth, it does not go in vain, because it is being offered to Krishna directly. That verse, Yajna Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedhasa, says that the Lord will be worshipped by this method. This is the method by which he will be worshipped. So if he is pleased, whether the government of that place is pleased with us or not, Krishna will bless that place, that devotee, and his desire. So again, you see, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna was very pleased. One time I was reflecting how almost wherever Prabhupada's feet touched the earth, there Krishna consciousness sprouted. You know, it's like he had this effect on this earth. Wherever he touched, Krishna consciousness automatically sprouted there. Even though it happened at a time perhaps one generation removed from when he was there. The example that comes to mind is Russia. That he instructed one devotee, Ananta Shanti Prabhu, and Krishna consciousness has blossomed, is blossoming today in this place, because his divine grace touched that place. There's a nice story. There's a nice description of this point by Sudama Brahmin. He had gone to see Krishna in Dwarka. So on his way back, he was thinking that neither Krishna asked nor did Krishna give him anything. And he was thinking how Krishna is very kind, because he's thinking that I may fall down. And he was very blissful in that meditation. But when he came to his own place, he saw that it had been completely changed. Where there was supposed to be a little hut, there was a palace. So then he had this reflection. What was his reflection? He said, I can see no other cause but the merciful glance of my friend, Lord Krishna. for this. He's analyzing, he's thinking, how did this happen? Other than this merciful glance of my friend Lord Krishna. So sometimes we don't know how. But when Krishna is pleased, everything becomes adjusted automatically. So this requires a little faith, adau shraddha. Faith that devotional practices are not in vain, they're not useless, they're not wasted, they're very potent. In fact, we should say it the other way, they're the most potent and everything else is useless. So this requires a little conviction, a little faith. Shraddha. But in this faith, Prabhupada said, it comes about by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He specifically said that this faith in Krishna and his devotional service is a result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So that answers the other question. Why am I hearing Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita every day? Because it inspires within us a firm faith in the devotional service of the Lord. That all the objects I seek to achieve, they will be served if I serve Krishna wholeheartedly. Everything. I was, because of some of the things that I do, one of the questions that I get challenged with is, well, what will children do? And this is, we're talking about in ISKCON today. What will children do if they only became devotees? They need to have an occupation. Engineering, doctor, some career. It's a valid question, right? Would you agree? It's like, if you have a child, do you want him or her just to know chanting Hare Krishna, nothing else? So, if you're a parent, you may be a little worried, how will he, she get married, how will they maintain themselves, right? These are very legitimate, practical questions. So the tendency is that they may or may not learn devotional service, but we have to make sure they learn a career. So it's a practical challenge. And yet Srila Prabhupada said he wanted the children of the devotees to be trained to be devotees. Nothing else. He did not want them to be trained to become engineers. He would say there are already too many. But the world does not have enough Vaishnavas, enough Brahmanas. So he wanted Brahmanas in society. So I'm going to answer that question. What is the need of a devotee? Practical need. So one of the challenges of bringing up a child is that they don't obey. Right? How many are parents here? How many are parents? Put your hands up. Do you have this experience that sometimes a child does not obey? Hands up if they don't obey. Equal amount of hands going up as before, right? So it's a challenge. They don't always obey. They're always challenging. Why? And so many other difficulties. Now, one of the things about being a devotee, the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vairagya Vidya, that there are two consequences of being a devotee. One is, you get knowledge and detachment. Now, one of the difficulties in modern bringing up children today, and perhaps it's true to say it's always been there, not just modern, is that children measure the affection of the parents by what items they receive from the parents. Money, toys, what objects of the senses. So you see, there's no vairagya, right? The child, the child's measure of love is by material items. How many items can a parent give? But the child's desires are never satiated. Because that's true of every living entity. Not just the child, every living entity. Nobody's desires are satiated. So when a child becomes a devotee, he becomes grateful to the parent. Immediate benefit. Something all the opulence in the material world cannot give. Devotional service gives automatically, as a byproduct, as a side effect. So in all circumstances, to be a devotee is the highest priority. But because we don't know, we think he should become an engineer, a doctor. Because we don't know. We don't know the full benefit of being a devotee. We don't know that for a devotee, Krishna says, yoga kshema vahamyaham. I look after him. We don't have sufficient faith that Krishna will indeed look after him. In material life, when somebody is dedicated to a career, a life of career, money and sense gratification, any setback, he thinks that's just a setback. He doesn't question his way of life. He's determined to pursue this materialistic way of life. But when that person adopts devotional service, if there's a setback, he thinks, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done only chanting Hare Krishna. That's why I'm in difficulty. So that's where your faith is challenged. You have to know, Lord Rishabhdev, he cannot be threatened by Indra. So if the corporate says, well, without a BSc degree in this subject, we will not give you a job, the devotee is not worried. If he is a devotee. However, a devotee is also not an irresponsible person. But his idea of responsibility takes the form of being a devotee. Having faith in Krishna. Understanding that Krishna is in control. That the difficulty is because of our lack of faith in Krishna. Not knowing that everything is being done by Krishna's supervision. The problem with today is that there is too much of a materialistic idea spread throughout the world. Actually, it is not true. The example that we can give that best fits the reality, a child does not have to maneuver every day to get his bread from his father. Father doesn't require the child to play some kind of politics to get his bread, to eat his meal. Actually, the father just requires a loving relationship. He'll look after the child. It's not like because the child was very ingenious, very clever, he smiled at the father today like this and nodded like that and then he got his meal. No. Just be sincere. Krishna is providing rain, the air we breathe, all our needs without our degree. In fact, some of the people who without degree are more healthy. They're better off, less stressed, sometimes even more opulent. From my village in Punjab, there was one of our neighbors. He could not sign his name. He could not sign his name. He became, after 30 years I had been in England, I came back to see him. He had become the GSA of Japan Airlines for whole of India. That means all the tickets that were sold to Japan Airlines went through him. He could not even sign his name. Phenomenally rich. So, I mean, actually all reality flies in the face of this idea that I have to be materialistically devoted. It doesn't happen at all. It simply happens by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And there's nothing more powerful than yajna to please Krishna. And the amazing thing about yajna today is that it only requires us to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's all. But it requires it to be chanted with great faith. Srila Prabhupada had that faith. He had that faith. He tried to pass it on to us, his followers. We have this opportunity, if we want, to take advantage of this process and to give it to others. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? There's no mic, right? There's no mic. The question was, how do we acquire the faith that even if I lose my job or leave my job, Krishna will look after me?
Because immediately the mind becomes restless and it starts to think that, how should I do it again?
Yeah. The mind would be very disturbed at that time, right? So how do I acquire the faith? One thing to note is that at the time of adversity is not the time to acquire the faith. Do you follow? The time of adversity is not the time that you will be, you can expect to have the faith. It is something you have to do before the time of adversity. You must have heard many people think that you should take up Krishna consciousness when you're old. Have you heard that? How many have heard you should